Hour number two of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Looking forward to an hour that we're going to cover a lot of ground in a short time. I have a crazy story out of the UK that I'm going to read in a moment. We have some open lines, 800-222-KABC. If you're a homeowner and you're the age of 62 or older, maybe you've heard about reverse mortgages. My good friend Mark Gallagher from Park Place Funding really wants to help you. Maybe even eliminate your mortgage payment for good. We know inflation is a real problem these days. And he knows, with his decades of experience, he can probably help you. No hard push, no hidden agenda. You can text or call him for a free private consultation. And he's honest enough to say, I can't help you. But I know he's helped a lot of listeners. And his personal cell phone is 949-244-4433. 949-244-4433. Also, parkplacefunding.com is his website. If you own a home, maybe it's time to look into reverse mortgage. Call Mark Gallagher, 949-244-4433, and tell him I said hello. Now, I never thought I would live in the day and age by which, when I read this next story, it's hard to grasp this is where we're at. Listen to this. British police will continue to arrest Christians for the crime of, wait for it, praying within hundreds of feet of an abortion facility after the UK Parliament voted down an amendment that would have legalized silent prayer, a situation Christians have described as a dystopian ban on pro-life thought crime. So you're just standing out there silently praying, they're going to arrest you. I mean, there's more to the story. Earlier this past week, members of Parliament rejected an amendment to prevent police from arresting anyone, quote, listen to this, listen to the wording, engaged in consensual communication or in silent prayer. How they came up with a distance, I don't know, within 164 yards of an abortion facility in England or Wales. So they said no to an amendment that would prevent police from arresting anyone engaged in something like silent prayer or consensual communication. Hey, you know, can I talk to you for a minute? Sir John Hayes shared this quote, the idea that we should interrupt the relationship between an individual and their God seems to be pretty monstrous. This is about freedom. It's not about the purpose of that freedom or the location of it. It's about the ability to think, speak, and pray freely. Again, this is a thought crime. We need to go back and read Orwell's 1984. Another member of the parliament, a man named Danny Kruger, said this, what are we doing by saying that people should not be allowed to pray quietly on their own? Never in modern British history have we criminalized thought. The amendment came after arrests of Christians praying quietly outside abortion facilities garnered international media attention. Police arrested a 45-year-old woman named Isabel Vaughn Spruce for admitting, quote, I might be praying in my head. Outside a Birmingham, UK abortion facility. They asked her. The video went viral. Are you praying? And she said, well, I might be praying in my head. They arrested her. They charged her with, quote, engaging in an act that is intimidating to service users. Praying in an area covered by a public space protection order. Police arrested Vaughn Spruce a second time 1 week ago, again for offering wordless prayer outside the British Pregnancy Advisory Service abortion facility in Birmingham. Pay attention to this exchange. She said, quote, "I'm not protesting." By which the police replied, "You're engaging in prayer, which is the offense. You are still engaging in prayer. It is an offense." They arrested her. Reportedly, six officers arrested this woman. You're engaging in prayer. That's an offense. Lastly, the UK abortion industry argues silent prayer and not affirming speech about abortion must be criminalized to protect abortion-minded women from harm. Silent prayer is harmful. Does anyone have a comment? I'd love to just have a brief conversation on this one. 800-222-KABC. By the way, at the end of the story, a European Convention on Human Rights memorandum released found that the public order bill may violate numerous rights, do you think, recognized by the Charter, including freedom of thought, conscience and religion, freedom of expression, and the freedom of association and peaceful assembly. Dr. Jeremiah Ngunobli said, quote, "The government should never be able to punish anyone for prayer, let alone silent prayer, and peaceful and consensual conversation. Today it's abortion. Tomorrow it could be another contested matter of political debate." He said a free society should never prohibit the peaceful exchange of information. Boy, oh boy. And the masses say, eh, I'm indifferent. 800-222-5222. Now, Brent in Los Angeles called a little while ago about a completely different issue. Brent, you're always welcomed here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. How are you, Brent?
Great. How are you, Frank?
I'm well.
And I was just wondering, if you can't pray, can you at least twerk in a garter and a thong?
Oh, boy. Come on now.
And actually, I'm not having a different topic. It's just a different flavor. Tonight, I have more movie suggestions for Sontag's Special Forces. And I share them because they are essential videos for foundational values, lessons, and insights, which can be used to win the culture war with love and reason. And since you spoke of Victor David Hansen, I'll start with a brilliant new documentary that he's in titled Civilization in the Danger Zone by Gloria Greenfield,
okay,
which also includes Larry Arn from Hillsdale College,
yep,
Frank Gaffney, Michael Medved, Heather McDonald, and a lot more from a godly perspective. I don't know if you have heard of that new documentary.
I have not, and I've got my pen in hand. It's already written down. What else?
Then, to lift our hearts and souls, we need to watch more classic, sublime, and meaningful MGM musicals, such as The Man of La Mancha from 1972, with Peter O'Toole and Sophia Loren from the Broadway play, an adaptation of Miguel de Cervantes' 1605 novel, Don Quixote, and it's about a man gone mad in a savage and cruel world who dares to dream an impossible dream to rescue humanity from life as it is to life as it should be. And this is a musical that is so deep and so profound, and it's really wonderful. And many of us haven't seen it for decades. And we just remember some of the melodies, but the lyrics to the songs are just unbelievable.
Well, you sold me on St. Catherine, and it's been years since I've watched The Man of La Mancha, so I think I've got two items on my list now. Throw a third one out there.
Okay, then I was just thinking another documentary from Illustria Media called The Privileged Planet.
Oh, boy.
And Stephen Meyer is in this.
Yep.
This is from the Discovery Institute,
yep,
in, where is that? In Seattle. And it is absolutely brilliant about how you cannot be thinking that the planet and the universe are random. It just, from a scientific perspective, in effect, proves God.
I applaud Stephen Meyer's work a lot, and I will look into that documentary as well. Brent, thank you. It's always great to hear from you, and stay dry.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, I've got some emails. One at the top I want to make mention of. And Paul, if you're listening, I mean, you just email me, call the program. Paul called last night and is a bit miffed of the way I handled him on the air. In truth, I don't remember every detail, but I'm not here to just read emails from people that say, oh, you're just so incredible. I really, honestly, I don't need that kind of commentary. Paul writes, Frank, you've really turned me off. This is Paul from Northridge from last night. You misquoted me for starters. I barely watch or listen to the mainstream media. You were rude, arrogant, and condescending towards me last night. You assume that people who don't work in media have access to the same sources that you do, which you do, by the way. I don't have access to sources and media just because I work for the media. That's ludicrous. I have to say that you have become a little full of yourself. You owe me an apology. Paul, call the program. 800-222-5222. If I was wrong in any way, I'm not beyond rebuke. But I, from my recollection of the conversation, we may have two different interpretations. But I'll say one part of your email that if you do call, we don't need to address. Anyone can access information on the internet. I'm just because I'm in the media, it's not like I have special access to secret websites. So call the program. Paul and anyone else, 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. Maybe you'd like to call in about, well, the news and the way the news is reported. We've heard so much about, well, the storm that seems like is on the way out now. But, you know, we'll tune into the local television news and you'll hear storm of the century, where you get bombarded with nothing but fear and, oh my gosh, don't go outside. The end is near. And I'm not in any way, shape, or form insensitive to the realities of how some of these storms really impact people. A good friend of mine's family were stuck up in the mountains for 8 days, you know, locally. But maybe you want to call in and talk about the news. Is that where you get your information? What about all these storms? How's your life? Do you have any questions you want to ask me? We used to do a Friday segment on my old regular program, you know, Ask Me Anything. It was called One Question, 800-222-KABC. Whatever you'd like, we've got a wide open board and, well, some time. The clock is ticking. Phones are wide open to you, 800-222-KABC. I made mention of this program or this story last night. New York Police Department is now warning businesses to require customers to remove their masks. It's a great story. We'll talk about that and much more, and maybe have you on as my guest. 800-222-KABC. More of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome to the Frank Sontag Show. Phone lines are a little quiet tonight. We have virtually a wide open board, 800-222-5222. If you'd like to call in, you are more than welcome to weigh in on any and all topics. Words from an epidemiologist on the health crisis in our country. Dr. Harvey Risch is a professor of epidemiology at Yale School of Public Health. Quote, what we need is competition in the marketplace in all things medical. SARS-CoV-2 is not the last virus we're going to fight, and so we need to have this ability to use medications that work for viruses. We've got to be trying and using all these things and fighting back against the tyranny of pharma to suppress the ability to treat viruses until it gets to their level of economic benefit, end quote, Dr. Harvey Risch. Yeah. Do you have a youngster in your home? Safe to say, if you do, they probably have a TikTok account. Did you hear the latest push by politicians? It's going to be interesting if they can actually pull this off. Headlines, White House reverses course, gives Congress green light to pass bill banning TikTok. Now, when you think about it, some of the statistics indicate there are 100 million monthly active users of TikTok in the United States of America. Can you imagine if your teen woke up tomorrow and they're upset because their TikTok account has been shut down, and you tell them it's now against the law, it's illegal, TikTok no longer exists in America? How would that go in your home? Now, for the sake of accuracy, there is a report that says TikTok poisoning vulnerable young minds by promoting eating disorders, self-harm, and suicide. I'm not a fan, for the most part, of a lot of social media. I'm not on TikTok, but I've heard enough. But I always kind of lament when politicians get involved in trying to stop something, make something illegal. I mean, I hearken back to the days of Just Say No to Drugs, or when they outlawed alcohol in the early 1900s. It's an endeavor that oftentimes doesn't come to fruition. But banning TikTok? Okay, well, let's see where this one goes. Finally, the New York Police Department is advising businesses to ask patrons to take off their masks before entry in light of the high number of thefts and robberies across the city. I alluded to this story last night by the headline, and I got kind of a snarky email from somebody saying, well, it's obvious why they want masks off, because of crime. Yeah, okay. Take it easy. We're on the same team here. Removing masks should be made a condition of entry. According to NYPD Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry, noting that criminals have been taking advantage of masks to avoid detection on surveillance cameras. Madry said, quote, people are coming up to our businesses, sometimes with masks, hoods, and latex gloves. They're being buzzed in. They're being allowed to enter into the store, and then we have a robbery or some kind of property being stolen, end quote. Prior to COVID-19, most businesses in the city, this is New York, would block customers from entering the premises with masks on. But taking in masked customers is now, well, according to the article, a way of life. I still see people walking around with masks. I'm sorry. I have tolerance for that. It's their choice, but I'm kind of mystified. That level of fear is still very prominent. Let alone driving the freeways and seeing somebody sitting in their car on the 405 by themselves, masked up. That's a hard one for me. All right, we have two lines open, 800-222-KABC. Tim in Valencia, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Frank. I've got a question about where the heck does our money go? I mean, we've got this crazy government that seems to be spending money at an impossible rate that's going to bankrupt our country. And there's no accountability to how that money is spent. It seems like at one point in time, back in the day, we had people in government that would regulate where that money goes and hold people accountable. And what has happened to that? And why do I not hear about it? I hear about a lot of stuff about January 6th, and I hear a lot of stuff about going back and who did what to who and all these investigations. But who's accounting this money? I mean, they're sucking it out of my check every week. And
well, they are, but they're not. This is a government that freely just prints more money. They saturated the market during COVID and gave a bunch of people free money, which obviously we've got inflation now. One would argue whatever the political bent is, therefore you get what you get. Like now, 2 years of the Biden administration, this is what you get now. When President Trump was the president, completely different policies. But I will tell you this. This is one I've been really weighing on lately, because I've always been a man that believes we should pay our fair share of taxes. And yet, I'm not being blatant about this. It's just a question in my mind. Have we reached the point now where we look at the government? Does the government still represent the people? I don't have that answer, but I will tell you I'm a bit perplexed about the way things are being run. Last thing, and then if you have another response, and I appreciate the question very much. If somebody has a comment, they're welcome to call 800-222-KABC. But when I look at something like Ukraine, we've given them hundreds of billions of dollars without thinking twice about it. And when we look at what's going on in our country, I have a very serious struggle with rectifying those type of policies.
Okay, well, they passed, you know, when Nancy Pelosi was in there and all that, they passed these bills that spent trillions of dollars. Where is the, okay, that's great if it's going to something useful, but they're saying pay your fair share. Fair share, how is it fair if the money isn't used for something? It's reflected in, you know, the citizens of the United States get something back for it. I don't see that happening.
Well, I thank you for the call, Tim. Anyone else that has a comment, they're welcome to call. And I stand by. A lot of this has to do with the political party of the administration that is running the country. These policies are almost antithetical to what we saw under the Trump administration, although the national debt went up during his time, too. I mean, we have a runaway national debt. It's just obscene what we do. 800-222-5222. Mel is in Los Angeles. Mel, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Thank you, Frank, for taking my call. And I was calling you just to ask you, how did you overcame the fact that you couldn't speak in public? I heard you at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to ask you, how did you overcame that? By the way, I was at the Los Angeles meeting in that temple two Sundays ago, and I met you there, and I was very grateful to meet you. You were very nice, very fine person, so I wanted to call you tonight and let you know.
Well, thank you for coming to our KMG event. I was really taken aback by what I witnessed that day. It was very powerful, and thank you for being a part of that. In terms of me overcoming fear, I've not overcome my fear. I still get afraid, but I just do it anyway.
And okay.
The more you do it, I'm not going to say the easier it gets, but if you're a man of faith, I'm a man of faith, there is something in the Bible that talks about denying yourself. Actors know the secret of good acting. It's getting out of your own way. So every time I crack this microphone, for instance, if I really sat, Mel, and thought about, I'm about to open this cylinder with the potential of thousands and thousands of people listening and judging me, I probably would freak out. But I just say, God, use me for your glory. When I get up and I do public speaking, I'm passionate about some of my views. The relationship with God is of the essence. So I'm not, I use it. I use the fear to kind of fuel me. It's like athletes. A lot of athletes use that as a motivating factor. And I'm not saying that's the Rosetta Stone of fear. But I remember years ago, there was a book written called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. But I've not overcome anything. I still get freaked out about public speaking, to be perfectly honest with you.
So basically, we have to face the fear and overcome it no matter what, but only if you have faith.
Well, there are lots of people that don't necessarily have faith in God that also address fears. But I think most of it is, it's like a muscle. The more you do it, the stronger you get.
But my point is, did you overcame it or help you overcome it by having faith and praying for that particular endeavor?
Sure, that helps.
God.
Yeah, that helps a lot, for sure, without a doubt. Okay. Mel, thank you. Thank you for the call. Again, I don't want to be semantical here. The word overcome, not necessarily overcome, but I many times in my life have said, God, just take it from me. Or I put it at the foot of the cross, whatever it is. I put it in his hands. 800-222-KABC, 800-222-5222. What's on your mind on this? Well, it's clearing outside. The storm of, I won't be flipping here. Wanted to say the storm of the century is passing. How are you faring on this Friday evening? How is your life? How are you? Or do you wake up in the morning excited about what is to come? Do you wake up with dread? Do you have meaning and purpose in your life? Do you have a relationship with God? Who are you and what's your life about? We've got virtually a wide open board. We'd love to have a conversation with you. 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. 30 minutes remaining with more of the Frank Sontag Show next on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Talk Radio 790 KABC. As Sharon Reardon just shared, we've got about 30 minutes left in the broadcast. A few open lines, 800-222-5222. A little later in this 30 minutes, we're going to talk briefly about the January 6th committee and the latest video release and how the left is just up in arms over Tucker Carlson sharing the views. And there was an 8-minute commentary that he shared on one of his programs. I was going to run tonight, but 8 minutes is really long to play on the air. And he just talked about people that are afraid and that lie and their response. So we'll get into that a little bit. Let's take some calls. A little while ago, I read an email from a listener who was unhappy with the way I handled his call last night. I invited him to call. Paul from Northridge is on the screen. Paul, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Thank you for calling back.
Hi, Frank. So let's have a conversation. First of all, earlier on the show, you said that I shared with you last night that I was overwhelmed by mainstream media.
I never said, hold on. I never said that on the program tonight.
You said that I said that I talked about mainstream media.
No, I did not. I read your email on the air. I never even made reference to your call last night until you emailed me. The only thing I specifically alluded to.
Hold on. I heard you earlier.
Okay. The only thing I alluded to in your email was, you're wrong that somehow, because I'm in the media, I have special access to information. That's the only thing I contested in your email. But continue. I'll be quiet now. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I'm a DoorDash delivery driver, and I'm in my car for 12 hours a day. So I'm listening to nothing but talk radio all the time. I'm a regular caller on Leo 2.0 show. I watch local news to find out what's going on locally. I might watch some world news from the mainstream media, but I watch everything because I want to get the big picture. I'm not just seeing what's going on the left. I'm not just seeing what's going on the right. I'm watching everything so I can make an informed decision.
And my response to you last night is, if you rely on the mainstream media for the big picture, you're wasting your time. That's what I said to you last night.
And I don't.
Okay, you.
And I don't.
I don't live your life. If you believe you don't, that's fine with me. My position is the mainstream media, for the most part, is a waste of time. That's all.
I totally agree with you. They slant everything. They have a narrative. And they represent the Democratic Party. But as far as being more accessible to resources, being working in media and broadcast, I only have so many hours in the day to do research. When I get home, I want to watch something funny to decompress. I want to watch something educational. I want to watch something about animals. I love animals and nature. You do have a little bit more access to resources person does, because this is your job.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. With respect, I do a program one night a week. I have a men's ministry that I run that's full-time. I don't sit there from sun up to sundown combing through the news. That's not my vocation right now. I have a men's ministry. which is a full-time job. I do this program one night a week. So, again, with respect, I hate the word wrong, but you're misguided if you think somehow I've got 10 hours a day to dig into the news. That's not the case. I despise the mainstream media. I rarely will watch anything on television as it applies to the news, let alone listen to talk radio. I've got a few hosts that I like, but a lot of talk radio is just pablum. It's just hosts arguing with listeners and being sensationalistic. Praise God, this station is one of the exceptions.
And I listen to KBC mostly all day long. I love Leo. I love Armstrong and Getty. I love Dan Bongino.
So where do we have disagreement? I'm confused. Where do we disagree?
I think you're under the impression that I'm slanted by mainstream media.
No, not at all.
And you're under the
not at all.
And I'm not.
Okay. I'll give you that. And I'm not under that impression at all. Make a closing comment. I've got almost a full board, and I want to try to get a lot of people on tonight. Go ahead.
I would just have to imagine, working in media, that you have a little bit of an edge over the common person that commonly relies on Google.
Okay. Again, thank you for the call. I don't work in mainstream media or media full-time. I do the show one night a week. I tried to stress that point to you. Somehow you've missed it, and that's okay. I thank you for the call, Paul. Eric is in Compton. Eric, you're on the Frank Sontag Show on 790 KABC.
Hi, Frank. If I can respond real quick to something that gentleman said. Frank, I've got a 12th grade education. But in the last 30 years, I have educated myself to what's going on in this country. You would be surprised at the information that's out there. And I had an 8-hour-a-day job. You don't have to have special access to information. You can find out what's going on if you know where to look. Frank, what I called about, I'm not sure if you are aware of, you know what's going on in Palestine, Ohio, right, with the explosion?
I have an awareness of it. In truth, I've not really studied the issue extensively.
Okay,
I've heard varying reports. Go ahead. Yeah.
A tanker hit some railroad cars full of toxic chemicals, and it's this big gaseous cloud over the state, messing up. People can't drink the water. They can't grow food. They're all messed up. Are you aware, or are your listeners aware, that there was a movie depicting the same exact accident of diesel hitting some tankers in, Frank, check this out, in the same state and then the same city a year ago? It's called White Noise.
White Noise. I was not aware of it until recently. A friend actually said the same thing to me. Yes.
Now, if you believe in coincidence, I've got some beachfront property for you over here in Compton. Frank, I got one more quick question. Why are you only on the air 2 hours a week? That is a travesty.
Well, how do I want to answer that? I'll just be honest. So I'm on the air as an independent contractor. I'm not gainfully employed by KABC. I have sponsors to pay for these 2 hours of airtime. So, ergo, I'm on one night a week. Would I turn down an offer to be on the air at KBC as a paid on-air talent? Probably not. I'd probably jump at the chance. But I'm on 2 hours a week because that's all the time afforded to me in terms of sponsorship. And I have a full-time ministry that keeps me very busy as well. There's the answer.
Well, I'll be in prayer about you getting more airtime, Frank.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Have we ever talked before?
Yes, all the time on the other station.
I thought that was you. How are you, brother?
I'm fine. Yeah, you sent me your book, Frank. I haven't read yet.
Well, how dare you? I'm offended now.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sorry I couldn't make the event. Was it last Saturday or Saturday before last? I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
Nope.
I should have, but I didn't.
No problem, brother. You're busy. Sooner or later, our paths will cross. And I recognize your voice the moment you got on the air. It's good to hear from you, Eric, and I hope you're well.
Good to speak with you, Frank. Thank you.
All right, brother. God bless you. 800-222-5222. One quick comment, one quick thought. The medium of talk radio is very limiting. I walk away some nights where I'll have a conversation on the air, and, you know, it's about 2, 3, 4 minutes maybe. you can't really get into things. I like to wade into the deep end of the pool, as a good friend of mine used to say as he preached. But sometimes we just scratch the surface. I recognize this medium is also limited in that sometimes there is miscommunication or misunderstandings about positions. But I take that seriously, and I always try to, if there's something that has gone unsaid or something that was misunderstood, I always try to clarify and give another opportunity with, case in point, the example of Paul. And Paul, you're welcome to call anytime. Again, 800-222-5222. 800-222-KABC. Elon Musk weighed in on the January 6th committee. It's an interesting article, less about Elon Musk, more about the realities of what's going on. We'll probably get into that, take some more calls. We have a couple lines open. We'll see what our final segment holds as we move forward and continue with this, the Frank Sontag Show on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Welcome back. Our final segment of this, the Frank Sontag Show. Let me be brief, although this announcement is anything less than very important. Berglund & Johnson Law Group, their personal injury attorneys, Dan Johnson, one of the co-founders, is a very good friend of mine, and I thank him for making the program possible as he is one of my sponsors. If you've been hurt in an auto accident or any type of personal injury, seriously, call Berglund & Johnson, 800, the number 4, if hurt. It costs you nothing to find out if they can represent you and help you. If they do take your case on, you pay nothing unless you win. And they've been doing this for over 40 years. Berglund & Johnson have been fighting for those who have suffered life-changing injuries, in some cases tragically death, because of the negligence of wrongful acts of others. Call Berglund & Johnson. They will help you. 800, the number 4, if hurt. 800, the number 4, and the words, if hurt. Let me read this story quickly, and then we'll take a call or two to end. We've got a lot of calls on the screen. I don't think I've really talked much about the January 6th, the great, what was it? I want to say Inquisition. Oh, you know, the upheaval. Those Trumpers, those crazy people trying to take over the Capitol. What a load of nonsense. And now, shocking, all the video is being released, and there's a whole other side of the story. Can you imagine? In fact, I'm not necessarily a fan of Elon Musk. I like some of his policies. I like some of the way he thinks. I don't like some of the way he thinks. But he's been very vocal about January 6th. Now, you may not know who Jacob Chansley is. He's the QAnon shaman, the guy that had the horns and the face paint. The dude got 4 years in prison. Now videos are out that he was basically escorted around the Capitol by police. Here's what Musk wrote. Chansley got 4 years in prison for a nonviolent police-escorted tour. Dave Chappelle was violently assaulted on stage by a guy with a knife. That guy got a $3,000 fine and no prison time. Kind of a caveat to the story, Elon Musk is very vocal. He's blasted the January 6th committee in light of newly released surveillance video of the breach on the Capitol, January 6, 2021. Musk wrote, quote, besides misleading the public, they withheld evidence for partisan political reasons that sent people to prison for far more serious crimes than they committed. Tucker Carlson, in his program Monday, showed some of the video and said lawmakers were lying about the events of January the 6th. He said they were less violent than they actually were. Carlson said, quote, this tape overturns the single most powerful and politically useful lie that Democrats told us about January the 6th, end quote. And he's getting, well, he's getting a lot of grief for his bold stance. Maybe we can talk more about that particular story next Friday night on our program. Let us talk to Wesley in Santa Clarita. Wesley, you're on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
West. Yeah, it's very interesting. Speaking about the fear of public speaking, I'm actually the Lord has blessed me for my career to be a public speaking professor and executive speech coach. That's spent my entire life helping people overcome the fear of public speaking. So that was interesting to hear you chat about that. Hello?
I'm here. I'm listening. It is a reality that many people fear public speaking. What have you discovered in all of the years you've helped people address some of those fears? Maybe some of the primary reasons why people stumble or are afraid in this area?
Well, first and foremost, preparation is everything.
Mm.
Preparation cuts your nerves in half. And then also people need to understand you can't, not only can you not get rid of the fear of public speaking, you don't want to.
Yeah.
Fear is energy, and energy is what we use to light up the room. We have a saying in public speaking, you can't get rid of those butterflies, but you can get them to fly the direction you want them to go. If one, you manage your time to do the proper.
Oh, did I lose you? Wesley, are you still there? Okay. The cell.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, there you are. Your cell dropped out for a moment. Yeah. Continue.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
Yeah, just that's preparation is everything, and acknowledging the fear that you can't get rid of it, and then having a plan to deal with it. And I could talk about that all day, and that's not even why I called. The only reason I mentioned it was interesting you listening to you and that caller talk about it.
I appreciate that, and I will accentuate, and I love the idea, and I've also adhered to it. You use that energy. It's like years ago when I studied acting, good acting coaches say, you know, the emotion you're sensing, in the case fear, use it. Be true to what that is, and then use that energy.
And the speaker also defines the energy in the room.
That's right.
The speaker has the responsibility to light up the room.
Now, you called about a separate issue as well. I want to make sure I give you a couple moments on that.
Yeah, thank you. And you said the lines were open, so I thought, well, I've not heard anybody speak about this. You know, I'm blessed to have an elderly father and 7 kids of my own.
Oh, my goodness.
And because of this, you know, the horrible weather for the past, you know, month or so, we've been in and out of urgent care, the emergency room.
Mm.
But one thing that is not happening is no mention of COVID. There's no testing of my kids, no testing of my father, who ended up having pneumonia and COVID, we would find out from the third trip. And it's just like the urgency has suddenly disappeared. There's no more talk of COVID in the hospital. It's just amazing how it's gone from being the great plague that if you felt the slightest tickle in your throat, you needed to worry, to seeming to be a non-issue.
Mm. If you've given it any thought, and only if you have and you'd like to share, how do you come to grips with that reality? Because it is true. We spent 2 years of lockdowns, and now here we are. The virus is still with us, if you will. Maybe not in the same way, but nearly a whimper. We hear nothing anymore.
Yeah, well, how I come to terms with that is having a great sovereign God that I cling to.
Amen.
And believe in.
Amen.
And I never made fun of the people that I saw around town wearing their masks inside their cars by themselves. I was sad because when you don't have faith, all you can do is cling to the wisdom of man, and then you end up driving around in a car with a mask on.
Well, I need to spend more time with you. I wish I was that solid in my faith in that. Some of that stuff, it really bothers me, and you've articulated such a clear position that I need to be more mindful. You know, I go red when I see somebody in a car with a mask on. But the truth is, you say, oftentimes in this life, if you don't know your cornerstone, if you don't know the foundation by which you live, the masses that attempt to manipulate and control through fear, they know what they're doing in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'm also very fortunate and blessed to be a teaching and preaching elder at my little church. Nothing like what you do, but I am blessed to to spend a lot of time in God's word and believe it and cling to it.
Well, I would be blessed, Wesley, if we can continue the conversation off air sometime. Would you send me an email and let me know how I can get a hold of you?
Certainly. That would be a blessing. I will do that.
Yeah. My email address is just frank@kmgministries.com.
frank@kmgministries.com.
That's it.
Great. I look forward to maybe chatting with you in the future.
Thank you, Wesley. God bless you. Thank you for calling. I want to end on a note. It may sound like a plug. It's not a plug. But the immune system is something I think a lot about. And a good friend of mine who was a practicing physician for years, who helped a lot of people that did contract COVID, some in very serious ways, passed away from cancer a number of months ago. His name was Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. And he worked hard in his life to, among many things, come up with supplements and ways that people can be helped to strengthen their immune system. I take something every day called Z-Stack. It's got quercetin and some other things in it. I believe in his products. He has a new product that is an immune system boost specifically. And I have no problem plugging the website because it's all goes to family and his foundation. ZStackLife.com is the website. ZStackLife.com. And I miss my dear friend, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Talk about a hero. This man was tenacious in getting the word out. And his brother, Frank, also has taken over his Twitter account. So you can still see Dr. Vladimir Zelenko on Twitter. Some of his old tweets are retweeted. He was a great man. If you miss any portion of this broadcast, go to franksontag.com. Our podcasts are up. And Lord willing, I'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of this, The Frank Sontag Show, on Talk Radio 790 KABC.